Dig.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
SM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two here on Tuesday morning, and hopefully you are up and ready, getting your day started. But if not, maybe you're just waking up now. It's a little chilly outside, but nice clear skies, no rain like yesterday. You just might need a little bit of a heavier jacket, but then it'll of course warm up, and then you'll say, "Why did I wear this heavy jacket?" Oh, because Tim told me to. What a jerk. Now I'm stuck with this heavy jacket. Bring two, I guess. That's what I do. I keep a sweatshirt in my office and a light jacket in my office. I usually have a light jacket in my car or a sweatshirt in my car. And then whatever I wear in the morning. So it's probably not the best plan, but I do what I can to try to stay warm because I get a lot colder now than I used to. I've noticed. And as I was mentioning yesterday, I still haven't turned on the heat. I know some of you have. I've seen some social media posts from people saying, you know, I caved, had to turn on the heat. Well, this next couple of days might break those of us who are holdouts, you know, early in the morning. But I just get up. I get up at 4. I get moving. I go into the bathroom, take a shower and shave and everything. And I've got my little heater on in there. Kind of warms up the room. Yeah, because it's an old drafty bathroom, so it heats up the room. Then once the shower is running and the water's hot, steam builds up, that warms it up, and then I leave. No need to turn the heat on in the morning. And then when I get home, I just sit in front of a little electric heater. I picked up at Savers a little Duraflame heater that does the whole room. So whereas the previous heater I was using was a little small heater, which would heat up the room, but it's more like you want to have it pointed directly at you, a couple of feet away kind of thing. This just does the whole room. And yeah, my electric bill will be higher than my gas bill, but I kind of like it when I go into my room and my room is colder. So it's a lot easier. Anyway, you don't care. But let me know. Did you turn on the heat yet? 508-996-0500. I'm sure some of you are trying to wait till Halloween. Perhaps some of you are even trying to wait until Thanksgiving. I've done that. I've tried to wait until Thanksgiving. Didn't really work out. I got close, though. There was one year where I didn't turn the heat on until, I think, 3 days before Thanksgiving. Now, to be fair, I was hardly ever home. So that was kind of cheating. And we had a very warm October. So that was also working in my favor. But I think it was the first year that I became the digital managing editor here. So I was here all the time. And I think I just would go home at like 8 o'clock, 8:30. Crawl into bed, go to bed, and wake up the next day and didn't even need the heat. You know, but I'm also somebody that doesn't, not that you need to know all this, but I don't wear a lot of clothes at home. Like, I'm not going to put on layers in the house. If I did that, I'd probably save myself and be able to go even longer. But I'm also quick to turn off the heat when the season starts to turn to spring. So once it gets to be like March 1st, I get angry if there's a day I've got to turn the heat on. It's a little bit different with gas now that I have natural gas. When I had oil heat, I was way more conservative with it because you run out. With gas, it's still going to get delivered, just you're going to have a higher bill. But my gas bill has never been exorbitant. I think the most my gas bill has ever been was like $200. So I don't mind that as much. But with the oil heat, I was trying to conserve every drop. When my landlord called and said, you know what, I think I'm going to switch to natural gas because there's a lot of tax incentives. I was like, yes, please. And that also meant getting all new equipment that was state of the art. Made a big difference. So I don't know if you're playing that game this morning or if you've already turned the heat on. You can let me know. 508-996-0500. App chat. Open line voicemails in the WBSM app. So I was talking before about these fake foliage photos, kind of catfishing people into going to Vermont. But in New Hampshire, according to New England Cable News, they're complaining about how many tourists have come as a result of leaf peeping season. State park officials, this is according to Neckin, state park officials are excited to see so many people enjoying the outdoors, but they urge hikers, both new and experienced, to come prepared and be respectful of nature and others on the trails. And they actually have photos here of a massive amount of people out on one of these hiking trails, just kind of standing around in a large group and talking about how packed it was. They said heavy traffic on Saturday on I-93 delayed rescuers trying to reach a hiker who had slipped and injured her leg on the Franconia Ridge Trail. I mean, are people that insane about leaves? That we're dealing with miles-long traffic backups and putting people's safety at risk in crowded trails over leaves? Let me tell you, if you show up at a place to look at the leaves and it's really crowded, you can go somewhere else. They also have leaves. If you're sitting in miles of traffic to try to get somewhere to look at leaves and your GPS is telling you it's like, you know, you're going to get there in an hour, just turn around and go somewhere else that has leaves. They're kind of everywhere. I mean, I'm looking out the window right now and seeing a variety of different colors, and there's no traffic here and no dangerous trails. And you can still see all the colors. Take a ride down 195. You can see all the colors. I mean, is it as vibrant or as bountiful as it is up in New Hampshire or Vermont or Maine? Probably not. But you know what? Instead of going to Franconia Notch, how about going to the Blue Hills? You're still going to see the same thing. Also, they're just leaves. The only time that I ever pay attention to leaves, really, is if I'm doing a crossword, a jigsaw puzzle that involves a scene with foliage. Oh, these leaves have to go in that direction. Oh, that's how that piece fits in. Other than that, yeah, it's nice to look at, but I don't get excited for it. I'm never going to jump in the car and drive 3 hours to look at leaves. Now, I don't want to yuck somebody's yum. If that's what you want to do, go right ahead. But I'm certainly not going to sit in traffic over it. Certainly not going to put my life at risk for it. But apparently, that's what people do. But maybe avoid the places, you know, if you're going to go look at those leaves, if you're going to go observe them, don't go to those websites that say, here are the best places to look for leaves in this area. Because you know what? Everybody's reading that article. Maybe do a little bit more research and say, well, what are some other like nature trails in the area that aren't getting put on these lists? Because most of the time those lists are compiled by people who have never even been there. They're just looking for what the most popular places are that people have gone to and saying, let's make a list. We'll publish it. We'll get a lot of page views. But if you dig a little bit deeper, look at what locals are saying. Look at some of the photos that you see on social media and where they've been tagged. You know, you can find that diamond in the rough. You can find that gem where there won't be crowds of people and lines of traffic. And the leaves are going to look exactly the same. So save yourself that trouble. Participation trophy wife says, I haven't even fully closed the windows yet, but today the heater is getting cleaned and fired up. Yeah, I just took my I took my main air conditioner out last week of the window and closed that window. And then I took my other one out of my home office / living room. I took that one out, I think it was Saturday night. No, for Sunday. Sunday morning. And I said, yep, now it's time to close these. But I still will open the bedroom window. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. You know, the same people that go out an hour or two to go look at leaves turning colors, sometimes they're the same people, too, that don't want to clean all the leaves in the yard.
Ah, I can see that, yeah. Well, they look so pretty on the grass like that.
Yeah. Until you have to rake them up and put them, you know, in paper bags.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so pretty.
Yeah, right.
You don't have to go. I mean, just in our city, we have nice places where the leaves are turning.
Yeah.
I don't have to go 2 hours. I don't have to go to New Hampshire.
I mean, it's one thing if you want to go for a ride anyway, and you're like, well, let's go and follow where the leaves are changing. Like, that's fine if you're going to take a Sunday drive. But I just don't get the point of, like, planning a whole day of going out and looking at leaves.
Yeah, people don't make sense like that. A lot, especially gasoline, the weights, the prices are now, you know. Unless, like you said, you go to North Conway and there's a lot to do there. You don't just do leaves, but I mean, you do other things.
Yeah, you can do, you'll just see them on the way while you're going to do those other things.
Yeah. I don't know if I was listening to a Boston radio station, the same station that Howie Codd does a show out of.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that there's a news story that's coming out now that Kamala Harris has plagiarized a lot of her material.
Well, I didn't see that, but I mean, everybody gets accused of plagiarism in every election, it seems.
Yeah.
I remember last time around.
The letters for the radio station, but I don't want to, you know, put it out there. I listened to WBSM.
Last time around, they were saying Melania Trump plagiarized things. And like, oh, listen, everybody, yeah. I think all of that stuff is right. Plagiarized.
Right. And, you know, with AI, but I thought I'd bring that up too. All right, Tim. Take care.
You have a good day.
Yourself.
And, yeah, I don't know much of the details about that, but I'll see what I can find. But that's been something that it seems like every election there's somebody who gets accused of plagiarizing. And it's I think Hillary Clinton got accused of it, too, at one point. Michelle Obama got accused of it. It's just I think it just happens. And I was talking before about citing, you know, that people think that if they cite something, that that's enough to cover you, but it's not. I would think that a political speech would require just as much original thought as, you know, writing an article. If you're going to write an article, you can't You can't write an article. Like, I'm not going to write an article for WBSM.com that talks about what WCVB is reporting and basically just copy their report and say, here's what WCVB is reporting. Now, listen, in full transparency, back in the old days when they first started putting articles up on our website, that's the kind of thing that they did then. They would say, well, the Standard Times is reporting, and then they basically have the whole Standard Times article. Or they would link to the Standard Times article with no other information, just one paragraph. But we've learned over time what's the right thing to do when it comes to online reporting. That genre has changed. That style was what was called blogging, where it wasn't about reporting, it was about directing your attention to. Now, things have changed. We don't want to direct your attention to, we want to be able to report when we can. But you'll also notice that you see less hard news on our website, and that's by design, because people don't want to read hard news all the time. We'll still have the important stuff, but we also want to give you stuff that we know you're going to interact with and that you're going to want to read. And also, you know, we get lots of great content from Fun 107 that we can share with you, from some of the other radio stations and Town Square Media that we can share with you. So why not? Why not make it available to you if it's there? But also, I see the comments that people make when people say, oh, another story about this. I just want to read some positive news for a change. So when we see a story like that, I want to make sure we get it up there for you so that you can be inspired by something and read something that you say, you know what, I feel a little bit better about today now. Or you know what, I need something mindless to read while I'm waiting for the Uber to pick me up or the bus to pick me up or while I'm waiting for my kids to come out of their soccer practice or something. I'm just going to read something like, I don't know, 50 Great Sitcom Neighbors. We try to have a little bit of everything for you. Right now, though, what I have for you is my first break of this hour, 508-996-0500. When we come back, we can take more of your calls. Phil Devitt will be back with the news tomorrow. I hope he's had a chance to see Saturday night while he was on his vacation because I want to talk to him about it. But if not, that's all right. I'm sure he'll see it this week. But we'll take this break and be back in just a few moments.
Hello, sleepyhead. And gets me moving in the right direction. I do my best to give the love advice forever. Seem like everything I do, I'm doing better. Doing it all for my baby. She's that fine.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And of course, don't forget, we are giving away tickets all this week to see Lawrence the Band. Sometimes they're just known as Lawrence, sometimes they're known as Lawrence the Band. But it's actually a family, a brother and sister, Clyde and Gracie Lawrence, who are making fantastic music together that they call Soul Pop or Pop Soul. And they're going to be playing at MGM Music Hall at Fenway. And we have tickets for you to win at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. 115 Huddleston Avenue. Make sure you follow them at Stevie's Wine and Spirits on Facebook and Instagram. You can see all the great products that they have there and the special tasting events that they have, including one coming up on October 25th, a Halloween tasting from 4 to 6, and I'll see you over there for that one. It's going to be a fun time with some fun stuff to try. I might be telling a little bit of ghost stories there while we're sampling. They also have the Harridan Vodka Paranormal Reserve. They have two different editions. They have the Annabelle edition, which was aged right next to the Annabelle doll in the Warrens Museum in Connecticut. Not the Annabelle from the movie. The real, actual Annabelle. Which is a Raggedy Ann doll. And then they also have the Haunted Hotel edition, which was aged at a haunted hotel. I think that one was at the Anderson Hotel in Lexington. The one that they have. They have other editions, too, that Harrodin has put out, but those are the ones that they have over at Stevie's. If you need to add those to your collection, they have them right now. And if they're still there on the 25th, well, maybe they're going to go home with me. They're kind of pricey, but they're collectible. So 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. You got a new leather jacket. Looks very nice.
Thank you. Yes.
And you had a good trip. You had a lot of fun.
We had a lot of activity too. I think I might be writing an article about it later on in the week.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll see it. Okay, 3 minutes. I've already started. 3 minutes. the panda bears, there's news about two more bears. Really? They can't just leave them alone. I'm not going to get into all that. You already know how I feel about the pandas. And not just them. When you're dragging them out of their own way of life, taking them into another area that they're not familiar with. Come on, that's sad. Okay, what I really wanted to mention to you, because you're into the paranormal and all the ghost hunting, and do you believe in time travel at all? Any ideas on that?
I don't know if I believe in it necessarily, but I've looked into it. There was of course the story of John Teeter, the supposed time traveler. There has also been, you know, I like to look at things like time slips, where people kind of their consciousness kind of moves in time. I think that's a little bit easier for me to wrap my head around than a physical time travel.
Well, the reason I'm bringing that up is because, have you ever heard of an author named Ingersoll Woodlock?
I don't think
Lockwood. So. Lockwood. Okay. He wrote a book in, now listen to the year, 1896. So the book is about, yes, if I can add now, 130 years maybe. He wrote that book. The title of it is The Barron Trump Election. Now remember, the book's 130. He hasn't been around to know anything about Trump. That book is amazing. I walked onto it the other day when I was roaming around in YouTube, and a woman actually bought it when she heard about it. It's on Amazon. I looked it up. The only thing is, my list of books right now, I just can't buy a book right now. I'm counting pennies and nickels. And so right now it's on my list anyway. But the things that are in the book is the book has three, it's like three books in one, because you had part one, part two. So they put it all in one book. And it's amazing, the references that are in that book. The Barron Trump Collection, and it's unbelievable. One of them in the story says that Trump, the name Trump actually, is going to be the last president of the Republic of America. And it's incredible the things that she was reading from that book. That's what's making me want to buy it. This guy either had to be a time traveler or, I don't know, I went in to read his biography a little bit, and it's just crazy. I wanted to mention to you, in case you had already heard about him, or if you already had seen the book or know anything about it, and then I would like to speak to you at another time when you really had the chance. I just don't want you to say, oh, yeah, I know about it, blah, blah, blah. No, I want you to really view it well enough to be able to read something about it so that I can get to a real opinion on that. That's bothering me, that book. I want it. I want that book, and I don't want to read it online either. I'm the type that likes to hold a book in my hand and put it down every now and then and go and get my coffee out of the kitchen, come back and pick it up, or take it with me when I go out, park somewhere on a nice day and read, or at the beach. I want the book. I don't want to read it online, not unless I absolutely have to. But so you're not familiar with him, so I hope you just write his name down, Ingersoll. I can send you a video.
Well, I'm taking a look at it now online. Very interesting. I mean, and this is
unbelievable.
It says that they were obscure until 2017. So, I mean, has it been proven that these are legitimate, that these are real?
No. This is a book a man wrote. He was a writer.
Right, but we're sure that it's actually as old as they claim that it is.
Like you can see the book for yourself.
They found original books that were published back then, not just
the
reproductions.
IBS, I don't know what they call it, IBS, IBN numbers, whatever it is. They said it's never been reproducted, nowhere. This is original, and the references they're making to, like, the kid that lived in a Trump castle, and yet I would refer to that as Trump Towers. I mean, everything they mentioned, from what I heard, when I haven't even heard the whole story yet, how could this man write a book in that year and have so many things that match the life of Barron, the kid, I guess? I mean, for the kid's name to be Barron, and the last name was Troop, like T-R-O-O-M-P, but look how close he came. Then they ended up, when he wrote the book, he made it shorter and put Trump. It was Barron Trump. And everywhere he went and things he learned from his father. And then there's references to some guy that Trump, I think it's that Trump, put on his list of, you know, people that are going to be working with him if he gets back into office. And there's a picture of a guy, and I don't recall his name, but I can look it up and try to find it again. And you compare that picture to the drawing illustration that's in the book, and it looks just like the guy that Trump is going to have as one of his people. It's incredible, Mr. Weisberg. I just want you, if you have a chance, I'm not telling you to go buy the book. I'm telling you, if you get a chance to see it online, read it, whatever it is, how you do it, I really want your opinion on that. Because maybe this guy was a time traveler. And he also mentions Tesla, a few things about Tesla. It's incredible. The inferences that are in that book match up so well. I would like to send you a better explanation of, because I looked it all up and I came across, I went on YouTube, and I found a woman who is so into it. She wrote a book herself on different other things and stuff, and she gives you an explanation on the book, real right? And when I saw that, I said, oh my gosh, I said, I'm going to send you that. So if I send you that video, I know you're very busy now, you got the promotion and all, but I hope you might, you know, a little time that night or something, you just go into it and watch that video. It's going to explain it a lot more than what I'm telling you now. Because I can't be that perfect with it. Because
I'm taking a look at some of the websites that talk about it. And, you know, one thing that I would warn is that there is a tendency to have confirmation bias in something like this, where there might be some things that are coincidental, but then you can apply them to it because you're looking at it from the modern eye. And I was just reading a Snopes article about it as you were speaking, and the Snopes article says, you know, that there are some of these things that are kind of coincidental, but that can just be applied to Trump.
But are they speaking about that book?
Yes.
Because if you go into the man's biography, you can see right there where he was born, when he died.
Like,
you can see all that kind of stuff.
Like, for example, it mentions a Fifth Avenue hotel, and people are like, oh, it's talking about Trump Tower. But even back when he wrote those books, Fifth Avenue hotels were where people stayed. So,
but I mean, how can this man from so long ago write a book and have the name Barron as the son,
because,
and the father ran for president?
Well,
and come on.
Well, because Barron in this is a title, not a name. It's a person who's a Barron.
I know, but the idea of it, don't you see how
it's
weird?
But it's also seeing conspiracy theories where there aren't any as well.
Well, I don't think that's a conspiracy. It's just a man that wrote a book. I mean.
Well, you're making a conspiracy theory about it, that he was a time traveler.
Well, the bottom line is, I'll just say, it would be very exciting reading. I would love to read all of it, which I don't expect you to do that, but I think after you, if you do want to look into it more and learn more, then you can really tell me.
It sounds like a fun theory to go down the rabbit hole of, but it also sounds like it's not real. I mean, yeah, and by not real, I don't mean, I believe it's a real book. I don't believe that it's an actual, you know, time travel thing.
Right. But I'm just saying, what kind of,
you know what it reminds me of, Mary? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Paul is Dead stories with the Beatles. Where, where the story?
Come on, this is different.
It's not. It's no different.
But
well,
I mean, he came
I guess
up
it's
with
a
lot
it's a little different because the Beatles did it intentionally. But still, it's more reading into things and making it a clue. It's like Dark Side of the Moon syncing up with the Wizard of Oz. It doesn't really, but if you watch
it
and you make that assumption, it does.
What do you think of the name Nostradamus, who wrote all the quatrains he wrote and how they tried to explain what they meant, because they were all in French and everything? I mean, a lot of things that he said, they try to match up with the things that are happening in modern life today. And what about that? Do you believe in Nostradamus?
I don't think Nostradamus saw into the future, no.
No, I don't believe that either. I'm just saying, I think this would be an interesting reading is what I really... I need something new like that to kind of make
my mind. No, I agree. It sounds like it would be something fun to read. I don't disagree with that at all.
And I am going to end up with that book. And thank you for giving me more than 3 minutes. I didn't expect it, but I can ramble on, you know.
Are you a fan of the Beatles music?
Some of it. I'm not crazy about every song. I was never really, really crazy about the Beatles, but I would hear their music, yeah.
Because I would recommend them getting the book, The Walrus Was Paul, written by my friend mm-hmm. R. Gary Patterson, who passed away a few years ago. But he wrote mm-hmm. a book that ties together all the stuff that, you know, the Paul is dead idea and all the little
Paul
clues
died,
that they
though.
Put into the music.
I do believe that.
You believe that he died?
Yes, I believe that he died. Absolutely. Because I know he looks different.
You believe that he was replaced by Toronto policeman William Shears Campbell?
When the Beatles first came out, I was watching it live on TV. I don't think it was live. It must have been not more than a few minutes. It was Ed Sullivan's show when they got here. And I watched a lot of the Beatles after that on TV. And I noticed the difference on Paul. Me and my friends talked about it in real time. So look at that. He doesn't look the same. And we noticed that difference. So I really believe that Paul was killed in an accident. And this guy, they found a guy that looks a lot like him and probably had a little surgery here and there. I know you don't believe it.
Supposedly, the way that the story goes, he was a Toronto policeman named William Shears Campbell, and yes. He won a Paul McCartney lookalike contest. And so the Beatles recruited him, and then they brought him in, and that's why on Sgt. Pepper they introduced him as the one and only Billy Shears.
Well, see, now it's not that hard to believe, is it, that Paul died and somebody replaced
Although
him?
Although Ringo is Billy Shears in the song, and it's Paul that's saying it. So I don't know how that fits into the theory. And then the other part of it, too, is, well, then how did they sound a guy that not only looked like Paul McCartney, but also sounded exactly like him? And it was also a brilliant musician that made great music for many decades afterwards.
Mm. Well, we're still lucky to have Ringo around. You know, he's around still.
That is true.
I mean, but they were great. The Beatles were great, though, yeah. Thank you so much for the time today.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And yes, I will mention the name of that book. Somebody just said, can you mention that name again? It's The Walrus Was Paul. So there's an original version of the book called The Great Beatles Death Clues. But that was kind of like the basics. And then Gary expanded that into the Walrus Was Paul. So that's like the more complete edition. And he also has a book, Hellhounds on Their Trail, which is about the 27 Club. So all the musicians and famous people who died at the age of 27. Gary was my legitimate all-time favorite Spooky South Coast guest. And my favorite episodes were when he would come and talk with us about these things, talking with us about the Allman Brothers and Lynyrd Skynyrd and all of these stories. And but the Beatles one is still far and away one of my favorite discussions that we've ever had. So you can check those out in the Spooky South Coast Archives, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm going to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And of course, that is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. So for those who aren't familiar, this is something that popped up while the Beatles were still recording this music. This story and legend came around that Paul McCartney died in a car crash. I believe it was in 1966. And that the Beatles then put out a feelers to get a replacement for McCartney because they were the biggest band in the world and also a cash cow. And if Paul McCartney was dead, then the Beatles wouldn't be able to continue and everything would fall apart. So they said, we've got to find a replacement. So they went and found this guy who was a Toronto police officer named William Shears Campbell, who won a lookalike contest in Toronto, Paul McCartney lookalike contest. And so they reached out to this guy and auditioned him, and he sounded like Paul and he played like Paul. And so they said, all right, we're just going to replace Paul and act like it didn't happen. But then for whatever reason, they also decided to start putting clues on the songs to reveal that they had done this. So in Taxman, George Harrison gives his advice, quote, for those who die, meaning Paul. The entire Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album has Paul as dead clues. Because the band is fictional. It's a fictional Sgt. Pepper. They don't play the Beatles. They play Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And they have Billy Shears, which is supposedly the name of his replacement, yet Ringo was Billy Shears. In the song on the album, A Day in the Life, he blew his mind out in a car. Paul is dead. Miss him, becomes evident only when the song is played backward. Lennon also mumbles, I buried Paul at the end of Strawberry Fields Forever. Although in interviews, he says he was saying cranberry sauce. And they say that they never put backwards messages in any of their songs. But a lot of it involves playing music backwards in order to hear some of these things, which, you know, if somebody tells you this is what you're going to hear, you hear it. It's called audio pareidolia. And there's all kinds of other clues. I don't want to get into it all now because it's kind of deep. But then you have Glass Onion, which a glass onion is a name for a coffin that has a see-through window at the top, a glass onion. And in that song, Lennon sings, you know, here's another clue for you all. The walrus was Paul, which is why the name of the book that Gary wrote was The Walrus Was Paul. So there's just all these different little things that, is it people looking back in hindsight and putting all those pieces together? Or did the Beatles actually manufacture this hoax? And there's been differing opinions on that over the years. If they did, I think it's hugely, they were already hugely creative to begin with. If they're adding all of this into it for fun, just to amuse themselves, even better. But, you know, Pink Floyd has denied for years that they synced up Dark Side of the Moon to The Wizard of Oz. Some of it is a little coincidental, but some of it you say, are you sure they didn't? Because it seems pretty perfect. But also most people are high when they try to do Dark Side of Oz. In the old days, I remember having to start the videotape on the third lion roar, the same time I was starting the album of Dark Side of the Moon. Now you can just go to YouTube and search Dark Side of Oz and people have synced it all already up for you. But you know, when they're like, the lunatic is on the grass, that's when you see the scarecrow dancing on the grass. And there's some other things like as soon as Dorothy opens the door into the Land of Oz after she lands in the house and it goes from black and white to color, that's right when the bass line kicks in for the start of Money. You know, little things like that. And it's fun. It doesn't hurt anybody. You can believe in it if you want, but it's fun to kind of fall down that rabbit hole and look into it all. That's why I always loved having Gary on the show, because he would talk about those things. And in fact, he was probably my favorite guest of all time. And his daughter told us after the fact that we were one of his favorite shows to come on. I wish we could have had him on more. I don't know why we waited so long to get him back from one appearance to the other, but certainly one of my favorite interviews, and you can check it out on the Spooky South Coast podcast. Going to take one more break here before the end of this hour. We'll be back in a few.
You tell me what she said. What was that promise that you made? Now I'm gonna love you till the heaven.
Yeah, Jim Morrison actually hated his vocals on that song, but I think that's one of his best vocal performances. Anyway, Jim Morrison, one of the prime members of the 27 Club, and I got an app chat message from Elliot who said, what is the 27 Club? Well, famous musicians and entertainers who died at the age of 27. And I'll tell you what, we have to take a break for the news. But when we come back on the other side, we can talk a little bit about the 27 Club. But there's a lot of stuff online, too, about it. R. Gary Patterson has written quite...
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Mix and match 5 or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar-S Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.